All right, welcome into the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host Mike, along with Oliver Anthony here. We are so happy today to have him on board to talk about the Richmond North. I'm just fucking with you.
May all my poor friends, the government's down on me.
Oh, I've been sitting on that joke for like 3 days. I've been waiting to use it.
I was wondering why you sent me a picture of him today.
Yeah. No, but for real, this is the Can We Kick It podcast. This is Mike and along with Chuck here, and we're back. Oh my gosh, it's been like 2 weeks again since we've had a podcast. It's been
It's like we released the last one on not this Monday, but the Monday before. So we're still
within the release
period. So
I can live with that.
Yeah, you know, life gets at you, man.
That's right. What's been going on, man?
Travel.
Yeah,
that's about it. Work and travel.
Nice.
Watching
anywhere
TV.
Anywhere exotic?
Is Council Bluffs, Iowa, exotic? I was just there last weekend.
It might to some, like people from Kansas that might count, or like Idaho that might count.
Well, it's kind of exotic going from Texas because it's a different. The Midwest is just like a spectacle upon its own.
Yeah. I saw the Snapchat of the guy dancing on the bar top, and I was like, oh my God.
So, yeah, I sent the Snapchat. It was a guy and a girl doing the worm on the across the bar top at a like kind of local place in CB and Council Bluffs. And it was funny because this bar has like four like younger women bartenders, and I think they were pretty much the same as last year. But like, so there was an old guy that was hanging around with them all night, and he was there like with family and stuff already. I turned to my friend Mac. I was like, I gotta just hang out up here. He's like, no, he's also a bartender up here too. And I'm like, he was like 60, like,
yeah.
In it. And then they were like, hey, whatever your name is, like, do the worm across the bar. And like, I'm like, what is happening? I had to Snapchat it, and I kept getting like messages from people like going, what, like, what is that? What
is this? And I'm like, I had the same thought. I was like, what? So Chuck's going to be in the background footage of Roadhouse coming up with Jake Gyllenhaal. So look out for that, people. Yeah.
Good Lord, man. You know, like, I don't know. Some of this just makes me sad.
I mean, it is the flyover states. I mean,
Yeah, I'd avoid it. But yeah, and then got work trip coming up next week for a few days, and got Lafayette this weekend, and we're going to Austin.
Nice.
When we get back from Lafayette, it's just a lot going on.
Jet setter.
Yeah, buddy. Getting those miles up.
Yeah, you're getting as many miles as Taylor Swift. That's crazy, man, on the Eras Tour. Not that I like her, but.
I know your hatred for her. I mean, I'm a Swiftie, even though I only know a couple songs, but.
Yeah, I'm an adult. I can't classify myself as a Swiftie, sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right. When you get in your 40s, you'll look back and be like, I don't know why I got so upset over so many trivial things.
Yeah, like, oh my God, those are the greatest albums of all time. Why didn't I listen to them more? I should have respected her in her time with Tom Brady.
Fuck Tom Brady, but I appreciate her for the empowerment and role model of women. I know one song. I don't even know what her music is really, but it's more of the person. But I don't know.
I just this comedian that I'm going to see soon, his name is Chris Porter. He just like trashed her. He was like, yeah, good for her. You know, she finally is going to, you know, meet a nice guy after that slew of just fucking Hall of Fame names that she dated over the last 10 years. So she'll finally settle down. Jesus. But
see, the Leo DiCaprio of females.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But
that's all good.
Yeah. Strong enough about T-Swizz. You've been watching a lot of TV. I know you guys got Resident Alien going on. You and Marcus talk about that.
I've been watching, actually catch up a lot of TV. So like in my travels, and on planes and all that stuff. So, up to date on Tokyo Vice,
Oh yeah.
Shogun, Resident Alien. Watched the Oscars on Sunday. Actually watched last night the Oscar winning short documentary called The Last Repair Shop.
I saw you post that.
It's freaking amazing. Like, I was like, if you want a good cry, I was like bawling during it. It's like one of the only school districts, LA United School District's like one of the only ones that gives instruments to kids, like that are in band or orchestra. And it's just like the story of some of the kid, like four of the kids, and then also four of the repair shop workers and their story. Like one guy was from fled Baku, Azerbaijan. He's Armenian during the war. Like his father, they shot his father in the back. Like the Russians invaded, or they're trying to get rid of Armenians, and they had to like flee the country. And then some lady who is a me from Mexico, single with two kids, and a guy who came out of the closet. And then there was another guy who bought a $5 fiddle at a swap meet as a child, and it turned into like just being discovered by Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, with their band, and they toured with Elvis and all over the world and played, like the first day that Colonel Tom Parker met him, he took him to Frank Sinatra's house to play for him. Like, it's just these amazing stories about people. So,
Wow.
and it's 40 minutes, it's perfect. So it's short, but it's like really kind of like, heartfelt and personal story. So.
Yeah, I love a good documentary. I'll have to give it a watch because I saw that it did win the Oscar, and I do know the background about it because I mean it's the unfortunate thing. It seems like the music classes in school are not as obviously not as prioritized as sports is because it's a money-making business. But yeah, I played instruments in school and we had to buy the instrument and of course it was bare bones. But I can't imagine being a kid and like being like, oh man, I'd really love to play an instrument, but
Well, that's
can't afford
these
it.
are from LA County Public Schools,
It's
and none of
amazing.
the kids could have afforded it if
Yeah.
it wasn't for this program. And they even
That's
said,
awesome.
one of the kids, like, he said like he wanted to play the tuba and be in the band, and his parents said it was, well, we can only either afford you or the tuba, and then
Yeah.
so it's just like, I mean, these kids that wouldn't have, they don't have the resources, right? We grew up
Yeah.
in areas where we had resources and we spent money on these things,
Right.
and so it's just like, they find joy through music, and outlet and discipline, and so it was really good.
That's great.
And
Yeah. And what was
I
it on?
kind of, it is on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. All right, I'll give it a watch.
Yeah,
Nice.
I think you can watch on YouTube as well. So I've been
Nice.
texting my musical inclined friends about it like
Nice.
last night. So now Blanca fell asleep like 10 minutes in. So, I
Yeah.
mean, I thought she would like it more than me because she's into music and arts and stuff, but
Yeah.
that was really. I almost
In the
picked up my guitar
philanthropic.
again.
Yeah. I know, yeah. I'm eyeing this piano sitting over here in the corner. I'm like, oh man, I gotta break that out. Yeah. So well, that's cool. I'll
Yeah.
give that a watch. You
And then,
mentioned go ahead.
no, I was just trying, I made a list of things to watch from the Oscars, but, and I
Yeah.
started watching something last night called God Save Texas on Max. I don't know if you've seen that. It's by Richard Linklater, who did Dazed and Confused, and
Oh wow.
he's was from Huntsville, Texas.
Yeah.
And so I knew he was, I always thought Dazed and Confused was about like him growing up in Austin, but it was about him growing up in Huntsville. And he showed the building of where they filmed like the Emporium scene. It's like a cell phone store now, but like,
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, the first episode talking about that, and they're going back to his house, and his house is in Huntsville. And I didn't necessarily get, I only about halfway through, but they also started talking about like the prison system and how like 1/4 of the population of Huntsville is like the prisoners.
It's insane.
So, and there's seven prisoners. I mean, so it's definitely there's like number of episodes, and it's on Max. I'm gonna finish it off, but he's such a good storyteller, Richard Linklater. I recommend that so far, but
I'll give
yeah,
that
a
a watch.
lot. I'm catching up a lot. So
Yeah, there's been a lot to watch. I mean, even with the Oscars, I mean, it was great to see Robert Downey Jr. win for, his first Oscar. And I need to watch Poor Things with Mark
Emma Stone.
Ruffalo and Emma
Yeah.
Stone. And for this, pretty good, apparently. But Oppenheimer obviously swept a lot of things, so good for them. I mean,
Yeah, I think,
we're Christopher Nolan
yeah.
fans, so win for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like Poor Things, American Fiction, The Boy and the Heron, which was like best animated feature. It's a Japanese, like, story. I watched the trailer, it looks really good. But it's not out anywhere yet. There was another one that's on Hulu, I think, that won some stuff. But yeah, I mean, there was so many. I don't know. Every year I watch Oscars, I'm like, oh, I need to watch this, this, this. And then I have a list and I forget about
There's so much to
everything.
watch.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Coda won. The guy won for like
Yeah.
best supporting actor in Coda, which is like a movie about deaf people,
Yeah.
and I still haven't watched it, and it's on my list. So
Yeah. Yeah. It's still on my
it
list too from the
happens.
Oscars last year, the year before.
But yeah, it's funny. You talked about Tokyo Vice and Shogun, and I think I don't know about you. That's seems to be the two hottest shows that I at least I'm watching right now.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first episode of Shogun. I'm intrigued still. I just haven't had the bandwidth to watch it. But Tokyo Vice has been just unbelievable this season. As we'll get to it, I'll ask you in a minute. But it's interesting because I read an article about how these two shows have taken off and captured the spotlight, and a lot in part due to like them being set in Japan, and how that has become like a character all its own, and how more shows need to capture that and utilize it to their advantage, because it's really taken off. People get interested with that culture and stuff like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we forget that the location, the setting is a character in a story. And so, like, I know the rewatchables were doing like their cold winter tour, and they were like in each city, they were picking like a New York movie or a Boston movie, you know, to rewatch. And I think that's very powerful analysis from you, because it's really, I think that's what kind of turned, I think. For me, like Shogun, Tokyo Vice, and Slow Horses is a lot of, besides great storytelling, it's also the setting, and it's also a different culture, you know. And Shogun, like back in the 1500s, and the actual, you know, the hierarchical structure of society and the ruling class, and then going to Tokyo Vice with the Yakuza and the different gumis and different kind of like families, you know, bought, yeah, it's, and then the regular people. So it's definitely, the setting is a big character in both of those, and I think that's why I like both of those. I'm like planning a trip to Tokyo next year.
It's on the list. I mean, I just watched Tokyo Vice, and I'm like, you could drop me on any street in Tokyo, and I'd be lost in about 3 seconds. And I'm not even talking about like a language barrier. I'm talking about the city's so massive, I'd take one turn and I'm gone. Like it's insane. I'm so intrigued by it. But yeah, that's been two really good shows. I don't know if you have anything you want to add about the Resident Alien.
No, it's actually really good this season. I haven't watched Thursdays, but it's just one of those, like, I watch it and I'm like, this is so fun. And then I don't think about it until next week, where like I'm thinking about Tokyo Vice and Shogun and what's going to happen. And like should I read the books and, you know, to get
Right.
more details and listen to podcasts about it? So yeah, I mean, I think,
We've all got that fun watch. Like mine is Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's like I don't think about it until it's like Sunday night and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, Curb is on. Like, yeah.
Well, now, like, too, Shogun's on Mondays on FX, so it's on, like, I'm watching on Tuesday, and then Tokyo Vice is Thursday, Resident Alien is Thursday, so I've been watching those, like, over the weekend, so it's been nice kind of spread out, and The Regime now is Sunday night, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, we both watched the first two episodes of The Regime, right? So, before we talk to Tokyo Vice and Shogun, what do you think of The Regime so far?
I don't even know how to describe this show because, like, I don't know what it's about. You and I talked before we started recording, like, it's a show about, like, a European country who has, like, a prime minister who's germophobic. Well, she's got some lung disorder, right? That's, like, super germophobic. I don't even know how to describe the show. It's so weird.
Yeah.
That it's like a feature film of Seinfeld. There's no purpose to the show. And I'm just like supposed to sit here and try to figure it out.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out with the show is. Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? What is the show about? Like, I like weird shit. But usually with a couple episodes, it kind of like, it kind of reminds me, it's like a Wes Anderson movie, but also with Borat
and like, Contagion.
Yes. Fucking right on. Yes. Contagion is there too. So it's like, what is the purpose? Like, first she's a germaphobe, then like the barbarian or something, a shogun, they call the white guy barbarian, but the mind killer.
Yeah, the butcher of Psych 5.
Yeah, butcher of Psych 5 is now her like advisor and like rubbing schmutz like in on her chest and patting her chest and like giving her political advice, you know. And then her advisors like convince her that because she moves on from things quickly, apparently, and especially if they're more important. It's like trying to convince her that he's like descendant from Charlemagne. Like, and they put a big the end of the last episode, they put a big painting of him like in armor, like in the fucking.
It's got to be a parody of some kind for like European like leadership, and it, you know, some guy comes along who like holds like this mystical power over somebody just for having like wisdom, right? Almost like this like Rasputin type power over the czars is ultimately going to be her downfall somehow. But it's this interesting HBO sometimes Max whatever has this weird interesting look at certain things that have been around for years, you know, hundreds of years, like regimes. And I don't know if you watched the new Pope with Jude Law as the first like American Pope. Same concept, no idea what the hell we're doing here, but now he's the Pope and he's like navigating his way through it, and he's like a nihilist who like doesn't even believe in God, and he's now the Pope. It's the same like type for the show. I just don't understand it. It's so weird.
I mean, I'm going to watch it and let it play out. I mean, I just had putting it off because I watched so much. But then last night, I just burned through two episodes and I'm like, all right.
It's itching a part of my brain that is making me curious. But
yeah,
I'm going to tune in the night that it starts? Probably not. But I mean, I'll watch it the next day when I got some bandwidth. Yeah, because it's weird.
Yeah. And Kate Winslet's good, but I don't even know if she's that good in this because I don't know what she's supposed to be doing.
I don't either. Yeah.
And two episodes, I mean, she's kind of all over the place.
You know, her dead father has now spots on his corpse, you know, in his aquarium downstairs. And it's fucking weird. I don't,
Yeah. And maybe it all starts to come together when you find out more about the Psych 5 incident and the routine, but.
I'm sure it's all a clear, thin layered metaphor for Trump as president. I'm sure that's how it's gonna go. Yeah. But
Well, it's, I mean, it's about disinformation, and I mean, it seems like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and they're projecting, like, I think it's any kind of politics, right? And so, but
interesting.
so we'll
Weird,
see.
but
We'll see.
interesting. Yeah. We'll keep
Yeah.
it going. Yeah. What about Shogun? So I've watched the first episode and you've watched the first couple, right?
Yeah, so there's four. Two and three were bangers. Like, four was pretty good, like, especially the end. But it's basically, it's a 10 episode miniseries based on the book, based on the previous movie, based on the previous TV iteration somewhere.
It's like the star, A Star Is Born, but in Japan. Yeah, it's just
Yeah,
been redone in certain levels. Yeah.
it follows a period of time, and it's in Cosmo Jarvis, the Englishman, he's actually like, he's still, there's been so many comparisons to, like, Tom, there's a Tom Hardy aspect,
He's the
and
poor
we've
man's
talked about
Tom
him before.
Hardy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the poor man, and he's gotten better. Like, the first episode was kind of weird, but he's still like, was like this, like half the time, like with these wide eyes and like weird looking, but he's doing okay. He's a musician, like, and he like isn't some band touring in real life as well, but
Gotta shoot
he's
your
pretty
shot.
good. But
Yeah.
I mean, Haruka Sonata is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it is Tanaga, and there, it's just kind of like, it's kind of like, it's a, to me, I compare it to Tokyo Vice, except for back in the 1500s, because there's a struggle for power. Someone dies.
Course.
There's a struggle for power by the people that are left behind, and someone wants to be in charge. And now there's an incident in season four, or sorry, in episode four, that's going to lead to pretty much war. But
Nice.
it's like Cosmo Jarvis's character is basically now teaching people how to use cannons. You know, the Japanese how to use cannons and
I figured that's where that
guns
was headed,
versus
yeah.
swords and stuff like that. So, but it's, I mean, it's really good. I recommend it. And I mean, it's a good complement to Tokyo Vice, because it's very similar but set. Some of the scenes are hard to see. It kind of reminded me of like old Game of Thrones, because it's dark. Like,
Yeah.
there's a really cool part in episode three. It's like, takes place with two ships in the night, and it's like, kind of hard to see a little bit of it, but pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I highly
it is
recommend it.
FX. Yeah.
But FX has got bangers, man. FX, like,
They
they
do.
do, they've got
But
so many good
not always
shows.
known for cinematography.
No, I mean, they don't have the
Or
budget,
special
like,
effects anyway. Yeah.
say,
It's no Max, but
yeah, but even now, like, I mean, the quality of storytelling is even better in some regards to
oh yeah.
than HBO now. Like,
Oh,
HBO is
HBO is losing
fucking,
ground to other
yeah.
streamers. I mean, it's insane.
But there's also like another, FX is going to come out with another one. I think it's FX, but it's called The Three Body Problem. It's a famous
Netflix.
sci-fi. Oh, it's Netflix. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because they were talking about releasing them all at the same time. And a podcast I listened to is like, that's a show they should put out week to week.
That's right.
And because it should be highly talked about, and it's going to dump, and everybody's going to watch it and forget and move on. But yeah, sorry, we went off on a tangent, but
Yeah, the book on that show was unbelievable, but yeah, we'll talk about that when it comes out. Yeah.
did you read the book?
I'm halfway through the first book. There's three
Oh, so you
books,
are. Oh,
and
you had talked about that. That's
they're
right.
huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, but yeah, Shogun. I've enjoyed from what I've seen so far. We did joke about the poor man's Ed Hardy, Tom Hardy. Jeez, Ed Hardy. Jesus
It's
Christ.
a rich man's Ed Hardy.
Yeah, right. Love the setting. Love the characters and the actors. So I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm excited to hear that two and three are bangers, and four's got a nice cliffhanger to some degree. So I'll watch that
Yeah,
probably this
and
weekend.
the story's moving, like, the story's moving along. It's
That's
and
good.
they've still got six episodes, but you're getting, I mean, I think after coming off the shit show that True Detective was, in both of these shows, we have such good character development, Tokyo Vice, Shogun, and you care about these characters and you're invested in them. And you, I mean, we can switch to Tokyo Vice, but shit's happening every week where people are getting killed off, and you're like,
Popping off. Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, let's switch over to Tokyo Vice. So this has been, I think I like, I mean, season one was great, but I think I'm liking season two better. Like,
That was going to be my question. Is this season as good or better than season one? It's
yes,
razor
and
thin for me.
possibly,
It's
yes.
possibly better than season one. It's razor thin. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like took this unique show, and it's last year was like, wow, this is good. It's unique. It's something different. And now they're like, all right, the story, they could go on, they could do this for five or six seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know how over a time period, but I really like just the style of the show. But and now you have in the last episode, Jake is back in St. Louis and he's investigating. It's
I
just
knew
like
that
I'm
was
like
coming.
in my head, I'm like, yeah, because you knew something was gonna happen. In my head, and like I'm like, oh wow, okay. He's gotta go back to Japan, but he's investigating the doctor in Minneapolis that gave Tozawa, they figured this out, but it's just so well done, and like I can put down my phone and just watch it and watch the subtitles and stuff. So
It's so great. I mean, how this show is taken from what season one was, where, it opens, season one opened in the future where he's being threatened. And we haven't even caught up to that point yet this season, right? We don't even
yeah.
know if that's going to be this season. I got a feeling it's the end of the season, but it takes him from being just this like struggling reporter to he's gained a little bit of notoriety with his motorcycle gang article, and even the guy in at the Missouri Tribune or
Yeah.
whatever, like
The St.
read it
Louis
because,
Dispatch.
yeah, because
Yeah,
the Macho has an American
he's
like
reading
copy.
what it does say at the end of the show, like in the credits, it's like it's loosely based on, like, yeah. So I doubt the St. Louis Dispatch guy
No.
reading the Meisho
No, yeah.
English
And
version.
they've taken his source material, right, and they've definitely gone in a different direction than I think some of the source material that's actually out there. So they're definitely got some freewheeling stuff because
Let me.
there's no way that guy just shows up at the party and doesn't offer him a job without his dad like strong arming
Yes.
him.
Let me ask you this. So this pissed me off. Whenever, like, the St. Louis Dispatch guy sits down and they're talking and he offers him a job and he's like, I've seen too many people that, go somewhere and they lose who they are. And it's like, no, they're fucking discover who they are
Yeah.
once they get out of
Yeah.
their
The
bubble.
bubble.
Like,
Yeah.
it pissed me off. Like, I got so angry watching him. Like, you better not go home. Like,
Dude,
but
yeah.
it just, but yeah, we
I was
obviously
rolling
was.
my eyes. I was like, did his parents give him a script? Because this is all like straight out of his
It's
mother's
a
mouth. Yeah.
parents. Yeah, and I want to read about his sister to see if that's real, and like,
Yeah.
but even the mom was like, oh, it's glad you put your family first. It was like, how about you fucking parent your daughter who has these mental problems, right? Of depression.
Yeah.
Don't
Yeah.
put it all on your son.
Yeah. She's
So
18. I'm like 20 something. I live in Japan. Don't that it,
yeah.
I'm not the parent here, mofo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
It's not
she's and
like she just.
the mom is a good actress. Don't get me wrong. But she was from Friends. She was somebody that was like passive aggressive, like she is in this show. And I'm just having a hard time like watching her and being like, oh, this fucking bitch. Like, But I love that he went home and he's like trying to get away. He's like debating on whether or not he wants to stick around. And obviously he's gonna stay in like Tokyo. He's just having like really bad week. And he goes home and of course like immediately gets a third degree as soon as he gets out of the car. Obviously saw that coming. And they try to guilt him into staying, and we know he's not gonna stay, especially with what's his name? What's the detective's name? I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, Ken Watanabe's character?
Tanaka.
All right. Tanaka.
He they obviously find out because a billing department left a voicemail for Tozawa about a bill from Southern Minnesota Medical Center. So the character that Tozawa is based off of did actually go to the US and get a transplant. So I was telling Marcus, because you were behind by an episode, I think I was texting him and I was like, this is what's gonna happen. I can already tell you, like, I already know it's, but I thought his dad was gonna have a friend who was gonna be a doctor who was like, oh yeah, did you hear like Cal Berkeley just like figured out how to do liver transplants, like, or something like that. But it just as cool as a way for him to do it, because Jake goes to the doctor who is like the chief resident of operation at the hospital, and sees the watch that he's wearing is the same one that Tozawa had on, and he's like, yo, where'd you get that Philippe Patek, like, that's a high value watch. And obviously like threatens him by like outing him in the newspaper, and the guy like folds. So great. I love that moment where he gets like dead serious with the doctor, and the guy was like, fuck, and he like closes the door. So good.
I want to get some of his books, but I gotta finish. I gotta get some of Adelstein's books, but I gotta finish the ones I'm doing. Because apparently the Tozawa story was a real story that he reported on, a guy with a different name. But in Japan, they wouldn't publish it,
Oh, I don't
and he
doubt it.
sold the story to the Los Angeles Times. But it's so interesting, the culture there is like, here we sensationalize everything. I think that's what's fascinating is how it was talking about this with a friend, how nothing is a murder. Like, oh, he fell on a sword, or he fell on a knife, or he tripped and fell off a building, or and it's like this culture of like they want to represent honor, and so like, oh, no one kills anybody, and they take their own life like in honor. And that's kind of like in Shogun, it's like they're like, oh my God, you stood up in a meeting when you weren't supposed to, where you need to commit seppuku and your whole family. It's
Yeah.
like so, but it's just
It's a different
so
ideal
intriguing.
base than what we're used to in America, right? That they everything's honor and family and loyalty and stuff like that. And Ashira, gets killed, which I love how the first season there was like no guns except the cops. And now, like the end of this episode of Tokyo Vice today, it's like everybody's got guns, they're running through the streets, capping people. Like it's gonna be a full on like war. And yeah, it's so good, the character development, like Sato like getting kicked out of I can't even say the name of their gumi, but yeah.
To a Harami, who's the guy now? Hikara, and
Yeah.
then it's the Chikuri.
Chikara or something like that.
Chikara
Yeah.
something,
I'm gonna
is the
butcher
name
it.
of their sect.
But
But
he's
yeah,
kicked
he's
out
trying
and
to get his brother out, and then fucking, I'm
his
like, did his
brother
brother
turns on
rat
him.
him out, or how?
Yeah. It took me a
And
minute.
now,
I was like, oh shit, who was listening? And then I was like, oh no. He ratted his brother out. Fuck. Yeah.
his brother's committing 187.
Yeah, dude. Running through the streets of Tokyo,
I
just
saw the
popping.
shoes, and I'm like,
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah. So bad. As soon as he
And I was.
hesitated to shoot that guy in front of the club, I was like, oh, that's Kaito. Yeah.
So who was the guy that Kaido shot? Was it part of Tozawa's crew? I was
I think
trying
it's,
to.
yeah. I think it's a
I imagine
territorial
it's
piss and match. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that we already confirmed that Tozawa was behind the murder of Ishida. They found out
See.
they found the gun, and then
Yeah.
not Ishida. Ishida's in fucking what's
Yeah,
it? Oh,
he's in the ground.
Shogun. But no, there's an Ishida in Shogun. But the Oyaban, but yeah, they and then they like so now who's tipping off? You know, Ken Watanabe called, know, his police buddy, the girl, and they're going to escort, and they're not telling anyone. But a motorcycle pulls up, so like, are their phones tapped? Is you know, Tozawa tapping their phones? Are they probably following them? I mean, the guy, the shooter of the Oyaban, like said, it's not hard to find a cop, you know, address and stuff. So I'm sure somebody's following him, but.
I'll be honest, I'm surprised that Tozawa was behind the hit on Ishida. I thought it was his number two. I was pretty adamant that it was his number two that did it to gain power.
Slick back glasses guy. I love that guy. I wish he was
Oh
in
no.
charge.
No, not that guy. The guy
Oh.
that took over for Ishida.
Oh, yeah. Hikara or whatever that guy is. Yeah. I
That
thought it
guy,
was him too. I thought he arranged it because he wanted control of the Chikara.
But yeah, I guess it's Tozawa. I don't know how long, like, I think like Sato, I don't, what is he just gonna turn state's witness?
Ishida is who gonna
It's
turn?
Saito. So he's just been kicked out of the Gumi. Like, does he now go like work with Jake and Ken Watanabe?
I think there's gonna be something that's happened. He's gonna come back in and he's gonna take over because, I mean, we know as the audience that he was really a Hitoshi Ishida's the one that he wanted in charge. So,
True.
yeah, I think that's going to be kind of where we go for me.
What do you think's gonna happen to Samantha? I obviously her club is screwed. She's like all over the media. We were talking about sensationalizing like things in our country. I love how they sensationalized the Yakuza over there, that they had like magazines that you could just like buy at the gas station and you could read about like these crime bosses and everybody was obsessed with them and shit. I find that so fascinatingly hilarious. It's amazing. But the last we saw Samantha Righty, she's at a club and like there's still blood everywhere and she pulls like the architect's briefcase from behind the couch. She gonna use that like to her advantage somehow?
I think so. I mean, she always does. She's crafty.
True.
So I think it'll come into play at some point. I mean, it's one of these shows as well that nothing is wasted.
It's not True Detective season four. This isn't where we just leave shit on the wall.
I mean, Jake gives him those shoes and he's like, they're too small. Oh, you have a brother, don't you? Give them to him. And then next episode we see Chekhov's shoes, you know, involved in the murder. So there's a reason why Chekhov's briefcase was found today, you
That's
know, in this
right.
last episode. So I'm sure she's going to use it to expose, like, because she now has no commitment to the, and she had to deal with Ishida,
Yeah.
so
The club is dead. They're not going to make their money. Ishida's dead. What's his name? He's got bigger fish to fry. I mean, she's got to watch her back because he could come back at any time and be like, yo, you still owe me, still owe us money. But this could be her ticket out back to Utah. But
I don't think she can go
yeah,
home.
I don't think she can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's
But
such a banger show, man. The acting is great. I love the noir, the like neon noir, like Tokyo vibe. It's so great. I mean, we've talked about that a lot, but I really hope it gets picked up for season three. I've got my concerns by how they've released it, and it's a streaming only thing. But I really hope it gets picked up for season three.
Question. Is it the best show of 2024 so far?
Ooh. I can make the case that yeah, it is. I can
I
make the
think so
case.
too. I'm enjoying it the most. I mean, I think it's just week to week. I'm like, can't wait to watch it. But I
True
don't.
Detective, they almost fooled us. Night Country almost got us, but We dodged it. Yeah.
Hey, we're all still in the night country trying to figure out what is the night country and when do we get out of it.
That's for sure. Yeah. Isa Lopez. God, that was dumb.
All right, tell us one more thing before we wrap up. Anything else on Tokyo Vice?
No, I got nothing on Tokyo Vice.
All right, ask me the question. Ask what the question you did on text.
So, hypothetical question. And I'd love to hear from the audience too. So maybe we'll put this on Instagram.
You
But
got to put a
hypothetical
poll on
question.
Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, I put it to Marcus and Chuck and I said, season five, True Detective season five, HBO's come to you. They said, hey, Isa Lopez, she's out. We're starting over. You do the
Chuck and
casting.
Mike are directing it. Chuck and
Yeah.
Mike are directing it.
You guys are directing. You need to cast the two leads. Who were the two true detectives that you cast? And you said,
My two were Ansel Elgort from Tokyo Vice and John C. McGinley, who most people know as the doctor on Scrubs.
yeah.
I'm blanking on his name, but he's also an FBI agent in Point Break, and he was a cop and in a lot of like the 80s shows.
Yeah.
So good. Like, to me, those would be my two detectives, and like maybe like make John C. McGinley like a little older and kind
Oh
of
yeah.
like,
Give him a little
the
scruff. Yeah.
and then Sydney Sweeney like as like the Alexander Daddario character in season one.
Oh yeah.
But the other thing, before I put John C. McGinley, I was gonna say Gary Busey, because he is freaking Keanu Reeves' partner in Point Break, and I was like, I forgot how great he is in that movie.
Dude,
But
pre-motorcycle accident, he was an amazing actor.
yeah, but so we it would be like we got to come up with our kind of storyboard for that. But
Yeah.
what and who did you have as the two true detectives?
You know, I was thinking about it and I can't remember who I had, but I do like that you said Ansel Elgort because I did see a thing on Reddit about how when he gave his speech to his dad, he said, you know, it's not about just asking questions. It's about asking the right
The
questions.
right
And I was like,
question. That's right.
yeah.
Okay, true detective right there.
I'll have to think on who I was thinking to be true detective. But I like
Or
yours.
did you even answer us?
I don't think so, because I think I let you guys spin it off and we just kept going down the rabbit hole from there about making fun of it.
Yeah. Oh, you had Walton Goggins as Tuttle,
Oh yeah,
though.
bring Walton Goggins in as a Tuttle? Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see John C. McGinley in a serious role like that. I think he could crush it.
Yeah. We may want to trademark this so HBO doesn't steal it. Issa
Right.
Lopez could be listening.
She could. Oh yeah, we joked about it tying into it being the opposite view of White Lotus season
Yeah.
two, where it's the massacre on the boat with Tanya, and then they just see the other side and they think it's
Yeah.
this huge the boat's name is Carcosa, and they think it's this huge spiritual thing, but in reality it's just a bunch of evil gays trying to kill Tanya.
Yeah, Tanya was the Yellow King. Like,
Yeah, I think Walton Goggins it somehow could be in there. Just he, you know, greasy, southern, charming dude. But
yeah.
I like John C. McGinley. I think that could be killer. Yeah.
Yeah, and you got the young and the old, and kind of
Yeah.
got like Ansel Elgort can play like the kind of like Matthew McConaughey, but a little slicker, and then John C. McGinley can play the older, wiser, straight by the book
Yep.
detective. But yeah,
Oh,
we get
I'd
them
love to
both
do it
then.
the other way around. Training Day, that shit. Ansel Elgort is like the young guy who's like by the book, like, oh,
Yeah.
this is what I just learned in the academy. And John C. McGinley's like, look, we're gonna go in here, we're gonna kill these fucking guys. You're gonna be quiet about it. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that'd be an interesting. I'd love to just give me a shot, HBO. Just give us a shot. Let
Yeah.
Kickin' It Media just do the casting, and we'll
Yeah.
take it from there. Yeah, but.
I think we would knock it out the box.
Yeah, easily. So, any other comments?
No, I think I'm excited for the last like couple episodes. I think Tokyo Vice is only two left, right? It's eight episodes.
Two or
We're
three, I
on
think it said.
six, or is it
Is it
nine?
a 10 episode or yeah, that's a good question. We're almost to the end either way. Yeah.
So, and then Shogun still got like six episodes left, but Regime, we got a ways to go. But
Yeah.
we have a date for Outer Range too. It's in May. I think it's like May
Yes.
16th or 19th. So that's on the horizon.
Start the rewatch next month. Yeah.
Three Body Problem. Severance apparently is about to wrap up production in April. So they're saying, or by the end of this month. So they're thinking what I've heard is maybe probably December, but it's still a long ways away. But
Nice.
hopefully we get that this year. So
Oh, and
yeah, it's.
on Apple TV, Manhunt, which is about the pursuit of John Wilkes Booth, is dropping tomorrow on Apple.
Oh,
So
nice.
might want to give that a watch. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. So,
Sweet.
yeah, appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week. You know, check out the podcast platforms. Check out the Instagram. We'll throw that poll out there. I want to hear what other people think about who, if they could cast season five of True Detective in their own right, who would they pick? I think they'd be great. Yeah, check out the website kickintomedia.com and tune in next week. We'll be talking Tokyo Vice, more Shogun, and some of the new shows that are coming up, about to start. So we're probably gonna do a little special episode because I believe March 21st is gonna be Rad Day, and Chuck and I are probably gonna go to the movies to watch a nice 80s reconnect. So watch out for that.
So I have to go to Cincinnati in Kentucky
Ah!
for work. So I've already booked my ticket to watch it Thursday night in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the AMC theater near my hotel.
Hell yeah.
So Rad Day, March 21st, 7 o'clock, only one showing at 7 o'clock, theaters across the nation.
All right, I'm buying my ticket tonight. I'm
Believe
watching.
it.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Can't wait. So, yeah, and as Cousin likes to say,
Get ready to break the